Well, I've been announcing this lesson well over 2 months now. And from all indication, the lesson will be at least a two-part lesson. We are encouraging you to see that you get in and the rest of this lesson over the next week or two. The lesson deals with, or you may title the lesson, Understanding and Strength to Accept God's Permissive Will. That is, we need God's help and God's input for more and better understanding, so as to understand, to accept the things that God permits. While today, a lot of emphasis will be placed on the efficacious will of God, next week, much will be said in respect to God's permissive will. Because there are sort of two sides to God's permissive will. Lightning that may do some damage. Rain that creates flooding. And sometimes destroy houses and lives. Are not necessarily God's efficacious will. It is that the Almighty God so fixed nature and the laws of nature that sometimes the rain comes extraordinarily heavy and create damage. The laws of nature that kicks off that rain, when you listen to the weather forecast, it will tell you about a system that is in Cuba and it is coming this way. And it will bring rain and all of that. These systems are caused from the laws of nature. So it's not that necessarily that God decided that I'm going to do this today. And no, it's the laws that he said. But watch here. What we're going to learn is that all of these laws of nature are still under the control of God. And that the Almighty God may step in at any time and retard their course or hasten their course. So there are much to learn from these two or three lessons. But the important aspect of this lesson, we'll get deeper into it next week, is where God's permissive will bring in our lives, probably for you or for me or the other brother or sister, bring tears, bring hurt, bring suffering, bring catastrophe. Yes, God's permissive will. Those are the area that we need strength for. Where things happen in our lives, we are wondering, is it God who bring it or Satan? Now, if it is Satan, it's still under God's control. Why does he permit it? That's the area that is important for the Christian. That's the area we need strength and understanding, that when they do come, Why am I affected with this ailment, this sickness? Why this financial loss? I have been dealing with people as honestly as I know how. Why has it occurred in my life? Why is it that all that I do to make my marriage work, there's so much disruption and unhappiness, and I bend backward to make it work? We are talking about God's permissive will. We need to understand it more, and we need strength to accept it. As I said, today much will be said about God's efficacious will. One of the great and challenging challenges which has confronted God's people since the dawn of time is that of understanding, but not only understanding, that of accepting the permissive will of God. The things that God permit to happen, even though God didn't plan it so and didn't initiate it, but He permitted it, that has created a lot of challenges and confusion for God's people throughout. Gideon, yes, great judge of Israel, Gideon was perplexed over the permissive will of God. Let us run to the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 11 through verse 13. Gideon, let us hear it. Judges.
And there came an angel of the Lord.
There came an angel of the Lord.
And sat under an oak.
And sat under an oak.
Which was in Ophrah. That pertaineth unto Joash.
That's right.
The Abizarite. And his son Gideon.
His son Gideon.
Threshed wheat by the winepress.
Was processing wheat.
By the winepress.
For the family. When I was growing up, we used Martha to prepare corn. That's right. Now you have blender to blend everything. I'm glad I'm alive this time. He was preparing wheat. Read.
To hide it from the Midianites.
So terrible was the, get this, was the oppression. You need to make sure you get this. The Midians were the Gentiles. Gideon was an Israelite, one of the judges of Israel. He had to hide, prepare his wheat, because the Israelites were under the Midianites. The Midianites sought to control Israel. Read.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.
An angel of the Lord said to Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. No. That confused Gideon. And rightly so. Listen.
And Gideon said unto him.
And Gideon said to the angel,
O my Lord.
O my Lord.
If the Lord be with us.
If You see, Gideon is implying, I'm not sure you are with me. You're just telling me, speak positive word to me, talking about mighty man of valor. I'm not sure if in fact you are with us, the Israelites. Read.
Why then is all this befalling us?
Stop here, brother. Haven't we asked questions like that a thousand different ways many times? Why is this happening to me? Why have I prayed and, you know, Paul prayed 3 times just for one. Here is the situation where Paul's prayer was specific. Are you saying God didn't answer him? Well, I can say God answered him. The Almighty God gave him what he needed more than what he wanted. I may say more about that, I'm not sure, this week. I may also remind you that it's a wonderful thing when sometimes God does not give us what we ask for. Read, brother.
And where be all his miracles?
Where? Wait. If God is with us, why are all these terrible things happening to us? Brothers and sisters, we are dealing here with God's permissive will. We are dealing with things that God permitted to happen to the Israelites. And here, may I? While you may say, well, Brother Mitchell, some of these Israelites, they were so unfaithful to God, and they were so sinful, and they were so this, and they were so arrogant, and they were so this. But it's like all the Israelites were suffering under the Gideonites. So why, God, the angel have just speak positively to me, if you are with us, God, if I'm a Christian serving you, and I think I've been frank, why are all these things happening to us? Read.
And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of?
Wait. We were told how he opened the Red Sea and caused the Israelites to pass through, etc., etc. How he fed them with miracle, with food from heaven, and how the Almighty God fought the Gentile nation who encounter us as we left Egypt. Where is that God now? That's confusion over the things that God permitted to happen to the Israelites. Men and women today who are trying to serve God are confused at times over the things that happened to us. Read on a little further.
Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?
Wasn't he who brought us from Egypt?
But now the Lord has forsaken us.
Ladies and gentlemen, how many times so many Christians felt forsaken? But if you're a child of God, remain faithful. He has not forsaken you. In fact, he promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God's permissive will. What verse are you?
At 13. Still in 13.
Read 13.
Has forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites.
Because the Israelites were at the mercy of this Gentile nation, the Midianites.
And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel.
Wait, you notice what I noticed? The Almighty God did not even directly address Gideon's concern. That's interesting. The Almighty God simply reinforce the commission which he had given him previously. Go in this thy might. Then the Almighty God reminded him, Am I not the one who sent you? That is, if you believe that I am God, just do what I say. Sooner or later, sometimes, if the Almighty God chooses, He will help us to understand right in this life things that we encounter through His permissive will. Other things will have to wait for the other life. So, yes, like Gideon, we are often confused over God's permissive will. When we speak about the will of God, there is God's, efficacious, and there is God permissive when we speak about the will of God, it's important to be mindful of this. There is the efficacious will of God. That is the things the Almighty God plan, because that's what He wants, and He brings it about. He initiates it. Efficacious, God permissive will. Things that God didn't plan. It came about by Satan or by man's imagination or whatever. But God permitted. Of course, there are two sides to this. There are aspects of God's permissive will that does not impact on man in any direct way. But there is the other part of God's permissive will that does impact upon us. As we have just listened to a fellow servant of God, Gideon, who was concerned about some of the things that they were suffering. And were saying, if God has all the power and the strength, if God is God, why these things are happening to us? We may not verbalize it like that, but we have asked those questions many times. Let me speak a little about the efficacious will of God. That is, the things that God plans. And it's important. There are certain aspects of this over the next 10 minutes as I deal with it, that it's important that we understand the working of the Almighty God. Now, God's efficacious will, that first one at the top. God does not periodically, that is, monthly, yearly, or weekly, decide on something and then set out to accomplish it. It's important that we get this. So you ask, Brother Mitchell, say it again. Thanks for asking. The Almighty God does not periodically, like it was 10 years ago that God planned this, or it was last month that God planned it, or it is just this moment that God planned this. God does not work like that. God's plans are made in eternity. Very important that we get this. So I'm going to repeat it a half a dozen times. God's plan are made in eternity. Brother Mitchell, repeat it again. Thank you for asking me. God's will and purpose are eternal. They are not things that God 20 years ago decided to do. Or 100 years ago decided that a flood going to come or whatever. No. Because for God there is no 20 years ago. The Almighty God lives in one big now. We call that the eternal present. There is no before and after for God. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Because all of time and eternity is like my hand middle to God. God is looking. What we call 5,000 years ago is before God's eyes right now. What we call 10,000 years from now is before God's eyes right now. He lives in one eternity. But back to the point, that God does not make his plan periodically. As we do. He does not, as I said, God's plan and purpose are eternal. He does not make his will, his plan, his purpose, or alter them as human history develops. That is, the world is now more modern than it was 500 years ago. So naturally, God has made some new plans. No, all of God's plans were made in the unmeasurable eternity of the past. All of God's plans. But Brother Mitchell, then as things, different things happen, don't God have to adjust them? No, God's plan doesn't need adjustment. Listen carefully. We are going to read a few passages in a few minutes. Let me repeat this. That he does not make his will, his plan, his purpose, or alter them based upon human history as human history develops. What's happening in our society, in our civilization, in our development, that does not shape God's will. Because God's will has been made from eternal. All of what God wants has been made from eternal. Not 50 years ago, 100 years ago. May I? They are made in eternity and they remain unaltered. Are we there? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4 through 11. And chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 11. Let us hear it. Whereby,
when ye read,
Paul said to the Ephesians, in effect, is I want when you read for you to understand, for you to take these truths into consideration. Let us hear it.
Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
In the mystery of Christ. Read.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men.
Brother Webb, in other ages, these mysteries were there, but man didn't know about it.
That's right.
You are ready? Other ages, that is in the past. In the distant past. What Paul is about to talk in respect to the gospel, God's plan of salvation, man's salvation, it existed in other ages, but God kept it to himself. Read on.
As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles that
Wait, it is just now. But you see, don't make the mistake. In effect, he's saying to the Ephesians, don't make the mistake that what we, the apostles, are writing to you, the Almighty God just made it up a few weeks ago. Huh? Don't make the mistake thinking it's like a letter that comes from Paul's mind. It's when, as he wrote the letter, he think about words to put in the letter and some thoughts he wants to share. God's will is not like that. Read, brother.
Is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
It's just now revealed, but it had existed in eternity. Read on.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body.
Wait. What verse is that?
Six.
Brothers and sisters, you must not miss this. You see, from in the unseen, immeasurable past, the Almighty God made a plan to save not only Jews. Are we there? The Jews were selected to keep the world at a certain moral and religious level, so that when Jesus Christ came, the world would be ready to accept him. But what the apostle is saying is that that plan to save Jews and Gentiles, that was made in eternity. Wait. The one true church was also made in eternity. Well, let me tell you, where did he talk about any church? Well, you weren't listening, so I encourage you to listen so that you can learn. Read that little part again, brother.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs.
And of the same body.
And of the same, and of the same church. Huh? Are you all there? Yes. Brother Michel, did I hear you right? You heard me right. You have been thinking all your growing up life that, yes, it is God's will to have different church. You save in yours and I save in mine. No, from eternity. Before there was any world, before there was any human being created, before Satan was created, God planned that everybody would be saved in one church. Wait. The same church. That plan, that was made when Jesus Christ was about to come to earth. That plan was made when Paul was about to write. That was made in eternity before the world was created. What verse? That is on verse 6.
We're still in 6.
7 now.
And should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
By the gospel! I am here now telling you about God's will. And the bottom line in the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for you. But that the Almighty God has an eternal plan where before Jesus Christ came, some things had to be put into place. They were put into place not so much in time, but in eternity. Go on, brother, read on.
whereof I was made a minister.
I was made a minister.
According to the gift of the grace of God.
Of the grace of God.
Given unto me by the effectual working of his power.
Uh-huh.
Unto me. Whom am least. Or less than the least of all things.
Uh-huh.
In this.
Now that's humility, you know, brother. A lot of time we want to think that on a stratification of righteousness and closeness to God, we are at the top ladder. We are God's advisors. Now, we must make sure that our pride doesn't destroy us. Read, brother.
Unto me, who am less than the least of all things.
Uh-huh.
In this grace given,
uh-huh,
that I should preach among the Gentiles
the
unsearchable riches of Christ.
Of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel contains. The unsearchable riches of Christ. But wait. To appreciate this, you have to be spiritual minded. If you can't see anything with the gospel, and what is it? Then you need to pray to God to help you to be spiritual minded. What verse is that?
That was 8.
Read on, brother.
And to make all men see.
To make all men see.
What is the fellowship?
What is the fellowship?
Of the mystery.
Of the mystery.
Which from the beginning of the world.
Wait. Wait. You need to get this. It's not saying it was put together at the beginning of the world. You know what that means? It's when the world began, this mystery of God was already there. Which from the beginning of the world
has been hid in God.
Brother, wait, it means when the world began. That is before him create human being and what. That mystery was hid in God. Read.
Who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
To the intent.
What verse is that?
That was the end of 9.
Read, brother.
To the intent that...
With this purpose in mind.
Unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places.
God had in mind that the angel in heavenly places
might,
and man on earth
might be known by the church,
may get information
by the church, the
through the church,
the manifold.
Did I say through the church, brother?
Yes.
Through the church. And we dash the church here and there, and we criticize the church, and we down the church, and we do this and that with the church. Brothers and sisters, the church is part of God's eternal plan. The Almighty God designed from before the world was created. The Almighty God planned it before the world was created in eternity. God planned it that angel and man would be enlightened, would be informed, would be guided by the teaching of the church. I wouldn't be surprised if right now, angels are right now learning something from this sermon. Are we all there? Read, brother.
The manifold wisdom of God.
The manifold wisdom. Manifold means many-sided wisdom of God. Read on.
According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus.
Brother Webb. You see, that word may throw us off. May I? According to his eternal plan. May I? That plan is eternal, meaning, Brother Mitchell, it was made in eternal. It was made in eternity. That plan that is now being unfolded by the apostle, made known by the apostle in their writing. And yesterday God made it. It was made in eternity. God's plan that in Jesus Christ is going to save Jews and Gentiles. Read, brother.
Which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord,
mm-hmm.
in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him.
That's what verse?
That's 12.
Okay, stop there. Step to chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 11.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
Everybody hear that? Huh? I don't think you heard that. He chose us in Jesus Christ before the world was created. You know what that is saying? That God's plan of salvation was made before the world was made.
Amen.
May I show you things like that? In order to be saved, every person must hear, eh? And every person must believe, every person must repent, every person must confess Christ, every person must be baptized. These are not hurry come up.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Impulsive. Compulsive. Imagination of God. These were made in the eternal past. That's what the brother is at chapter 1, verse 4. And that's what it is saying. Somebody didn't hear it, brother. Give me it again.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
You know what that means? Before the foundation of the world, the Almighty God put together a plan of salvation. And his eternal plan says, all the men and women who accept and submit themselves to this plan, in Jesus Christ, they will be my people to share eternity, the eternal future with me. That plan was made in eternity. That was what? Verse 4?
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
There are, how the character of the Christian life, the condition, the spiritual condition of the Christian life, that is not a hurry come up thing that God's, I would like them to be this and then change it. No, that was also made in eternity, that we should be holy, set apart for God's service and purpose. That too was made in eternity. Step to verse 11 of chapter 1 also.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
Wait. There's a little thing there. I hope it doesn't slip you or pass you. May I? Listen with me again. Notice this. You talk about God's permissive will. Notice verse 11.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance.
That is, we obtain inheritance in Jesus Christ. But all of that plan of God was made in the eternal past. Read.
Being predestinated.
We were fixed. It was pre-planned. By God's eternal plan.
According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
May I, brothers and sisters? May I? It's important that you get this. Most of us are well acquainted with the passage in Romans chapter 8 that all things work together for to them that love God. This passage is telling us that God's plan that was made in the eternal past, whatever Satan does, whatever man does, the Almighty God going to see to it that all of them work out in such a way that they do not hinder God's plan. Nothing going to be permitted to interfere with God's purpose that He made saying trillion years ago is too short. It was made in the eternal past. And what the passage the brother has read here is telling us that God, wait. We're not dealing with that now. Next week we'll be showing that among the first things that the permissive will of God permitted was sin. Permissive will of God. Sin and suffering is not, they were never a part of creation. God did not create suffering. God did not create sin. Sin and suffering were permitted by the permissive will of God. But when we look at that, we are going to see that inseparably tied to God's will to permit sin was God's plan to overrule sin to His own glory and for the salvation of man. But that we will get deeper into next week. The passage just read, brothers and sisters, is telling us it no matter what you see going on in the world, it doesn't matter how you see men and women are so wicked and evil and like there is no rule for them. They have no conscience and what. Brothers and sisters, the Almighty God permit them to go only so far. Nothing will come in the way of challenging God's purpose that He made. God's will and purpose are based on His most wise and holy counsel. Meaning, Brother Mitchell, God forever knows what is best. So whatever God permits, don't question it. We may not like it. It may bring us suffering. But God knows what is best. God's will and purpose made in the eternal past originate in God's divine freedom and wisdom. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Whatever God's plan is, the plan of salvation, is it that we are saved, all of us going to be saved, those who are saved in one church, obeying one plan of salvation, whatever, that originate in the freedom of God. Meaning, Brother Mitchell, the Almighty God is obligated to no one. He doesn't consult advisors. He doesn't deal with a counselor. Because He is totally free to act according to His own divine self and His own divine wisdom. God is answerable, as I said, to no one except His own wise and holy attribute as the only true God. So when God made His will in the eternal past, it was with those considerations. Just one or two more little points and we are close. God's will and purpose have as their ultimate goal are in the glory of God. That's something we need to keep in mind. We are not the center of the universe. We believe that if things are not done to please us, it shouldn't be done. No. God, all that God does, they have as their ultimate goal and purpose the glory of God. Wait, before we read one or two passages, when we keep this in mind, we will understand how important it is that we give glory to God. It is priority, the glory of God. When God killed Nadab and Abihu through wrong worship, through not giving reverence to what worship is about, the glory of God was part of what came up. Let us hear Isaiah 48, 9 and 11. 1 Peter 4, 11. Leviticus 10, 3. Quick, brother. Those are the last passage, hopefully. Isaiah 48, verse 9, and then verse 11.
My name's sake.
For my name's sake.
Will I defer mine anger?
Will I hold back my anger? Wait. You thought that God provided you that good job because you were so holy, or that God allowed you to get that promotion? Well, may I? There is no doubt that men and women who serve God out of a sincere heart, are we there? And are faithful, that God looks out for their interests. But please don't ever make the mistake in patting you on the shoulder and say, look what me get. You see, I know that all these years I'm so good and I'm so this God. No. The bottom line for it is God's own glory. Read, brother.
For my name's sake.
For my name's sake.
Will I defer mine anger.
I'm not going to pour out my wrath, my anger on you because of my own consideration. Read on.
And for my praise.
For my praise.
Will I refrain for thee.
Will that, I hold back.
That I cut thee not off.
That's why I'm going to kill you. God said, it's not because you are so good and because you're worthy. It's my own sin. You see, God's glory. That was verse what, 4?
That was verse 9.
9. And I said verse 11 also.
For mine own sake.
Mm-hmm.
Even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another.
God will not give His glory to another. So for His own name's sake, for His own glory, He does it. So whatever God has done. Let us look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
Uh-huh.
If any man minister,
uh-huh,
let him do it as of the ability which God hath given.
Watch here now. Read.
that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
You all hear that?
To whom praise...
Wait. If you hear that, then I'll finish the sermon here. So, but if you don't hear that, I'll have to go on further. Did you all hear that? That in some things, God...
That in all things...
Did he say all?
That in all things...
What happened?
That God in all things may be glorified.
Wait, did you all hear that? The glory of God is the bottom line. We'll have to stop here. May I? Among the things that we need to look at, did you know that nothing happening in this world surprises God? Nothing. There is no breaking news for God in this world. That God has to call some of the angels and say, "My God, look how man become wicked. Or look what this political leader is doing." No, nothing happening in this world surprises God. And his word tells us that. We have been talking some about God's plan and purpose, that they were made in the eternal past and they are unalterable. It doesn't matter what's going on. War may come and destroy this whole world. God's plan remains the same. And the Almighty God is working out everything that is going on in the world so that they fit into his will and purpose. We beg not only that you strive to be here to hear the second part of this lesson, but that you bring somebody so that they might be enlightened. What purpose is your life or my life? When we say we are Christian, if we are not putting out effort and prayer to help to enlighten men and women in respect to the will of God. Men and women out there need to know and understand the working of God. Because as they understand the working of God, that may give them reason to want to give their lives to God. We are inviting you back next week as we pick up on the second part of this lesson. And I'm hoping then to get into God's efficacious, God permissive will. That is the area that creates problem for us. In our problem, our sickness, our financial, our family, our work problem, our societal problem, the accident that happened and the loss and whatever. Why God permit them? Come and understand better. But today, you can become a child of God by understanding that God made his plan in the eternal past, and that plan included you. That God has a way to bring you back to himself, to save you, to give you eternal peace through and in Jesus Christ and in his church. And that he has brought you here today to listen to this message, so that you will see reason to want to submit your life to this great, merciful, gracious, and eternal God. Right now, you can come forward as we stand to sing. You can step forward and give your life